This morning, the scripture is Luke 8, verses 22 through 39. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A windstorm swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed, and said to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there was there on the hillside a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter them. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it then had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. God bless this reading.
Years ago, I helped plan a workshop on church accessibility presented by the Council of Churches in Portland. One thing we included was a program developed by the Catholic Archdiocese there. It was called Welcome to My World. And it was intended to help us who are able-bodied temporarily, as the disabled folks who helped us organize the workshop like to say, understand what it's like to live with various disabilities. To simulate the loss of a limb, for instance, we would put people in shirts that had one arm tied off so that they couldn't put it on properly, and then ask them to do some everyday task that usually requires two functioning arms. Or we would blindfold people and have them try to find their way through some kind of course. At that workshop, the Archdiocese debuted a new simulation meant to help folks understand what it might be like to live with a mental illness like schizophrenia. It was fairly intense, so they typically didn't allow children to go through it as a result. What they would do is have someone sit down to study or fill out a job application or some such. While they were trying to do that, someone would come up on each side of them and begin speaking into their ears through an empty paper towel roller. And they would say things like, "God hates you. You're going to hell. What makes you think you could do that job?" Or maybe instead of these kind of horrible statements, the person would be subjected to somebody singing or just talking and being incessantly noisy. A friend of mine who has schizophrenia once described what it was like in her head as an old-school analog radio that was tuned improperly, so stations faded in and out, and there was constant static. I went through this as we were preparing for the workshop, and it was very disconcerting. As I read the story of this Gerasene man, I remembered that simulation and helped me imagine in a small way what he was dealing with. In the ancient world, without our modern understanding of medicine and psychology, people would have thought conditions like mental illness or epilepsy were caused by demon possession. And without medications and other treatments for such conditions, ancient people would have found them very frightening indeed. The man in today's story was in bad shape. Now, I'm obviously not familiar enough with psychology or mental illness to be able to speculate exactly what his specific diagnosis could be if he were living today, and quite honestly, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that he was very, very ill. Whatever he had, it had destroyed his personality. We don't know his actual name. Let's imagine that it was Felix, a good Roman name. This was a Gentile area, so he wouldn't have had a Hebrew name like Simon or Samuel or Baruch. But when Jesus asked him his name, he didn't say Felix. Felix, or whatever his name was gone, or at least so totally outnumbered that he couldn't speak for himself. Instead of a name, he gave essentially a number, Legion. A legion was a heavy infantry battalion in the Roman army. It was usually made up of around 6,000 men. 6,000. But legion didn't just mean that this man had been reduced to nothing but a number by his illness. That legion would have been trained and arrayed for battle, and their goal would have been Felix's destruction. And they were succeeding. Until Jesus came along. These days, most people in the developed world, at least, don't believe in demon possession. A lot of the conditions that might have been attributed to demons in Jesus' time can be treated now. It doesn't always happen quickly. My friend I mentioned a moment ago and her doctors spent 2 years trying different medications before they found what worked for her. A coworker I had years ago suffered from epilepsy, and medications only partially controlled it. He had to have brain surgery before he could be freed from his frequent seizures. Our modern treatments can work, but it often takes time. But the demons that affect many of us are not always diagnosable mental illnesses. They're the regrets and worries that our brain insists on turning over and over when we find ourselves awake at 3 a.m. They're experiences and memories that hurt and continue to hurt. They are our own insecurities and fears keeping us from being the people God created us to be. They're the anxieties and worries that keep us awake. What am I going to do? How am I going to pay this? How am I going to... What? And there's good news. If Jesus can send a legion of demons packing and have a man leave a man clothed and in his right mind, surely he can bring healing to our guilts, traumas, regrets, and fears. Now, I don't mean for you to hear me saying that if we have guilts, traumas, regrets, and fears, all we need to do is pray and everything will be fine. Yes, of course, prayer is an important part of spiritual and emotional healing, our own prayers and the prayers of others for us, but it is not the only part. In this area, just as in many others, Jesus' healing is made available through others, through therapists, pastors, physicians, spiritual directors, friends, and sometimes even strangers. In other words, we just might have a hand in bringing about healing in somebody's life. Sometimes it's just by listening. Other times we might have useful advice, or depending on our relationship, we might be able to push a person to get up and do what they need to do to get well. I read an article in the Washington Post a couple weeks ago in which a woman named Billy Lezra described a time when she was about to take her own life and was saved by a tourist who asked her to take her picture in front of a local landmark. Billy was in the process of ingesting enough liquid courage to be able to go through with the plan she had made when they came along. And somehow that interruption of her misery and hopelessness was enough to make her rethink what she was about to do. Instead, she called for and got help. We can imagine, as believers, that that tourist was Jesus' hands and heart, helping bring healing to a woman struggling with what would have been a fatal illness. That tourist came along at just the right moment and turned her toward more people who could act as Jesus' hands and heart to bring her hope instead of hopelessness, peace instead of whatever inner turmoil was destroying her. Can you imagine healing coming through something so simple? If you can, then perhaps you can remember times when you were healed, restored, maybe even saved by some simple kindness that was offered to you. And if you can remember that, I suspect that you could similarly picture yourself offering a kindness that shines Jesus' light into the trouble someone else might be living in, to help quiet the turmoil in their heart and soul so that they, like the man formerly known as Legion, could sit, live, and sleep in heavenly peace.